Okay, it's good to be here with y'all tonight, and we're going to prepare ourselves in our usual fashion by having a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here so that we can grow in grace and knowledge, so that we can reach to the heights that you give us. And we are so thankful for all the things you do. We don't know hardly anything that you really do because you're behind the scenes, but you're always for us. And we're so thankful for that as well. So we pray that you will help us to keep our minds open, so that we can get all we can out of your word, and even to the point to where we can give it to others and they can do the same. So we thank you for this, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm not starting where I normally do because I decided to make something we did, I think, at two times ago, and I'm added some more things to it, I think, that will make it more clear to people. And it doesn't hurt to go back to verses that you've already gone through, and it's a good exercise just to see if you can understand all that is being said, and then you can go to the next one. That's a good way to do it. So we're going to start with 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 this evening, and it says, "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother." So that is the foundation there. I have an expanded verse, and I just looked. I have the first word is, I don't know what it was because it isn't what I put on there, but we'll just start with the second word. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, the same as the one before, but it's expanded. It has more information there. So this, the students of God, that you could call them believers walking in the divine dynasphere. That's what the double D is there are students of God, and we can call them believers walking in the divine dynasphere, and disciples of the devil are believers in the cosmic system. And we're talking about believers in the cosmic system. That's a big way to understand what's going on here. And so the believers in the cosmic system are manifest, apparent, or obvious where they're coming from, what they're doing. Anyone who does not manufacture integrity or righteousness or dikaiosune, that's a Greek term, it means righteousness. And anyone who does not love his fellow believer is not from God. And that's a big, those three verses are really, you have to look close to see what it means, because it could be many ways to people to look at it, but we're going to look at it in the right way, in the accurate way. So there are only two kinds of children exist in the world: children of God and children of Satan. No one can belong to both families simultaneously. Either one belongs to God's family and exhibits his righteous character, or one belongs to Satan's family and exhibits his sinful nature. Now, that came from John MacArthur. John MacArthur has gone to the Lord. He has a lot of things that are right, but he has many things that are wrong as well. That's why you have to be careful. And what I'm going to do is take what he said here and show that that's not what this verse is really talking about. And one reason is because He makes it sound if you belong to God's family, then you're going to be right. You're going to be exhibiting righteousness and character. But if you belong to Satan's family, then you're going to have his sin nature. And I'm going to show in my study, that's not what it's talking about. Because we have people who are in God's family, and they are not always righteous and don't always have the character they should. And you have then the people who are in Satan's family, and these again are believers, and they don't always exhibit sinful nature. Sometimes they are behaving better than believers. So we're going to this line right here is where I'm going to start explaining what I just said. So what is given above probably has not been considered about what was just up there. There is another possibility where believers who have been born of God but have become children of the devil. And that is what this whole thing is about. It's not saying that the Christians and the believers are so much better than those who are in the divine dynasphere. It's not about that. It's about these people, these who have been born of God but have become children of the devil. That's what it's about. This note where it says note here, this is where some of the things that I added today, because I think it will make the whole thing more clear. So, first of all, we have the note there. All people are born spiritually dead. Now, why is that? How did that come about? Well, it was because of Adam's original sin in the Garden of Eden. Now, you probably have heard this or know it, but it's important for you to understand it and merge it in with what this whole system here that we're looking at has to do with. So, every person is born spiritually dead. Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute because I don't think the masses of people know this. They don't know that they are spiritually dead when they are born, and they don't know that they will remain spiritually dead till the end of their life unless they believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from that, they're going to the lake of fire. That's chilling, is it not? And if we can get that into people's minds, that you go to church maybe, or you go to places and you have a Bible and you do this, that, and whatever the other thing is, but they don't know anything about doctrine. They don't know anything about how to be saved. And if you told them, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the only way to be saved. And this happened in the in the Garden of Eden. So just remember that. If you're talking to somebody about, you might put it in the form of a question. Were you spiritually dead when you were born? I mean, this gets people's attention. And they'll say, I beg your pardon. And you say it again. Were you born spiritually dead? And they're going to be, by that time, they're going to be wondering, what are you talking about? And you just could say, well, Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for the sins of the whole world, everybody. And a lot of people are not accepting that. They think they have to work in order to get to heaven, and that's a lie. And that's why we're born spiritually dead. And if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how good you are, how many things you do that are well or whatever it is, you're still going to the lake of fire. I wish people, when they were talking to people who are unbelievers, would tell them that. I think that would kind of bother them for a while. So, it's because of Adam's original sin in the Garden of Eden. Adam's sin was imputed to all mankind, and that's why we are all born spiritually dead. Now, this is found in Romans chapter 5, and I've got a scripture down at the bottom of this. But this is important knowledge that we all should have. and we need to let the people know it. And so the way that we became spiritually dead was with Adam's sin was imputed to everyone that has been born, and they are spiritually dead. Now, that means the only way one can be saved from hell is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what happens when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? A lot happens, doesn't it? We don't necessarily feel it. We can't feel it or see it or anything. But a lot goes on. And that, one of the things that goes on is when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, then you are delivered from hell immediately. And that means that the only way one can be saved from hell is by believing in Jesus Christ. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit for us, and we receive the gift of eternal life and many other gifts from God. Just this paragraph right here. Wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow have some people here that didn't know anything about the Bible, they were unbelievers and everything, and you started talking about these things? A lot of them probably wouldn't even pay attention. They have better things to do. But some of them would probably not sleep that night because of what this says. All people are born physically alive because Adam was still physically alive after God pronounced his punishment. And that's why we are born physically alive. You remember he was chastising Adam. First thing he did was said, "What are you doing obeying your wife? I put you at the head of the family." And that was part of it. And then he was told to get out and don't come back to the Garden of Eden. And there was an angel that had a big sword to keep them from coming back. Because if they would have gone back and ate the other tree, they could never be any more than what they were when they left. So all people are born physically alive because Adam is still physically alive after God pronounced his punishment. So we are born physically alive through procreation from Adam. Has everybody got those two now? Because I would say that when you are talking to somebody and you talk about a soul is one thing, but what about a spirit? And they don't know if they have a spirit or not. If they're an unbeliever, they don't have one. Because you don't get that until you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good information for them to think about, and you never know where it's going to end up. So we are born physically through the procreation of Adam. So we are born spiritually dead and physically alive. You've heard me say that probably several times, but I wanted you to see the background and so you could tell somebody, yes, the reason we are born spiritually dead is because of Adam's sin is imputed to us. And we're going to have that to the day we die unless we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's Romans chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Romans 5 has a lot of information about this. But I think this Romans chapter 5, verse 19 would help you understand. So, for as through the one man's disobedience... Who is that one man that disobeyed? Adam. Adam is responsible for this. So, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. He did the things that were he shouldn't have done, but they became sinners. And I said that's because Adam's sin was imputed to us. He's the federal head of a man, and so that's why we are sinners, at least the one that was the original sin. Even so, through the obedience of the one, who is the one? Jesus Christ. You have a little hint, that's capital O. So even so, through the obedience of one, the many will be made righteous. That was all in verse 9. We'll have verse 21 now. That as sin reigned in death, that's when we were spiritually dead, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So all that Adam could do is just put us under the death. And sin reigned for all that time. Even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that is giving you the biblical standpoint of how this came about. How did we get to be spiritually dead? Well, that's how it's doing it. And Adam did his part, but God took care of it. By this is the first two words of verse 10. Let's see, I'll show it to you up here. See this? See where it says, by this? That's where we're going now. So it says, by this is the first two words of verse 10. It is a reference to the believer's spiritual location. And you would think, what? What do you mean? What difference does it make where they are? It makes a ton of difference. And you'll see right here. But just remember, it is a reference to the believer's spiritual location. If the believer is residing inside the divine dynasphere, he's a student of God. But if he resides in the cosmic system, he is an agent for the devil. And you're either going to be located doing the devil's bearing or the divine dynasphere, you're going to be helping God. One or the other, you're going to be in them. And these, again, are all about believers. We're not even talking about believers here. The Bible doesn't teach that God looks up upon all people as His children. You heard people say, "Oh, God loves all His children," or "God, all the children are God's." That type of thing, but it's not biblical. The Bible doesn't teach that God looks upon all people as His children. What do they have to do to become children? Believe in Jesus Christ, and when he does, bam, he's eternally, from now on, they are his children. But people think that all people are his children, which they are not. So the Bible doesn't teach that God looks upon all people as his children. The Lord Jesus said to the religious rulers, you are of your father, the devil. That's in John 8:44. And that's just one example. You can see many of them in the Bible where they are in the believers are under the cosmic system. Now, there is another way of saying this. There are those who have believed in Jesus Christ and those who do not believe in Him. They are believers. Do you hear that? That's what I built this up to show you. Those who have believed in Jesus and those who do not believe in Him, there are believers who trust and obey God, but there are also believers who refuse to obey Him. You'd be blind if you didn't notice that every time you get outside your house, you see these people who are not obeying God. They are disciplined by God and have fallen into the clutches of the devil. And John, the apostle, said they are not from God. Now, we're going to hear on this a lot. What does that mean? Does it mean that they are no longer children of God? Does it mean that they can acknowledge their sins to God the Father and not be forgiven? No. Does it mean they will go to the lake of fire? No, and that's a no also, because these are believers. It's impossible for them to go to the lake of fire because they're already delivered. They're already saved. So the phrase, does it mean that they go to the lake of fire? No. The phrase, not of God, refers to their arrogant way of living, which is certainly not of God. And that's what it is, because if you're in the divine, in the cosmic system, your own volition could humble yourself. You could humble yourself and get back into the divine dynasphere, but these people don't necessarily want to do that. And these are believers who could go back to the divine dynasphere. And what this is essentially saying is God does not condone that. What they are doing are not from God. That's what that means. But you can have a whole host of people saying it means other things, but that is what it means. God always loves his children. The devil always hates Christians. This verse is not about God's children being better than the devil's children. Both are obvious. Remember when you were talking about obvious? Is if you were standing back and you were seeing who was doing right and was reading their Bible and they were obeying God, and the other one was doing who knows what, that's how you can tell they are obvious. And there we have this also. I wasn't going to go through all those, but all these. But I think we need to hear it again. Anyone, and that anyone, including all believers, those who are obedient, growing, and those who are disobedient and not growing. That's when that takes in everything there. Anyone fall into these categories. Who does not practice righteousness is what? Is not of God, because they're not doing what they should do. And the ones that are in the cosmic system disobeyed God, and that goes with anyone. So, nor the one who does not love his brother. This is also comes right after this. And so, is not God. So, the one who does not love his brother is not from God. And it sticks with that same thing the whole time. So God is not concerned with unbelievers who do not practice righteousness, nor whether they love their brothers or not. He is concerned about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are believers. They're already believers anyway. And I don't know how many are in heaven now, but there's so many people that are believers that act like unbelievers, and when they go away from God, then they are no longer a part of God, because they are doing things that God says not to do. That's the easiest way to say it. Okay, I'm going to go past all these because I'm going to go to where we are tonight. Y'all have any questions about that? What I gave you? Okay. If you can remember that and tell the people why you are born without a soul, that you come into this world with the thing all of us have it, and that is that we are born spiritually dead. And that never changes. It never changes. Who you are, what you do, where you go, how good you are, how bad you are. It doesn't matter any of that. That is the condition that is there. And the only way you can get out of that condition is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. That's it. And that's not hard to tell somebody, but it might get their attention. Okay, I'm still going down here and trying to find where we're going to start tonight here. Let's see. Okay, here's where we're going to start here. Let's see what we've got above here. Well, there was a lot of good things here, too. Well, I'll pass this up. We'll just start here, but it's kind of in the middle of something. Now, this is a really important verse right here. John chapter 5, verse 24. That's not what... I need to go up here to see at least what verse we're on. Okay, we're on verse 14. And this is what verse 14, this is where we really ought to start, because we're in the middle down here. So 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brethren." That's one reason they do it, that they pass from death to life. "He also does not love, he who does not love abides in death. We know, here's again, twice it's saying we know these things, that we have passed out of death into life. And this one is one that we have to really look at, and it's going to take a little while, but we'll probably get through with this one. The expanded verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have changed our residence from the realm of death, which is the cosmic system, and the more excellent way of life. That's I left an I out of there. Because we love the brethren. Remember they say you love your brother, you love your brethren? And that's another reason why you know that you have changed our residence from the real realm of death. So let me give this a shot one more time. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have changed our residence from the realm of death in the cosmic system because we love the brethren. Just because you love your brethren, that's what happens. But how many believers don't know really whether they are saved or not? I mean, there are millions of believers that struggle with the idea that maybe they are saved, but they're not certain. And so that's what this is talking about here. What do you have to do to get out of the realm of death and into the spiritual life? What do you have to do? Love your brethren. Is that important? Of course it is. It's a function of unconditional love. When anyone does not love the brethren, and the brethren doesn't have to be your neighbor, it could be anybody. So because we love the brethren, it's a function of unconditional love, which there is no conditions. When anyone does not love the brethren, he resides in the sphere of death, which is the cosmic system. That is the expanded part, but we're going to go up here mainly on the one that we looked at first. Now, this verse lets us know that we can have assurance as to whether we are saved as a child of God or not. Could you get people's attention by saying that and you say, I know that I am saved. I have complete assurance. And if you do that, people are going to say, well, how do you know? They want to know because so many of them don't know whether they're really saved or not. So the idea that we cannot know is a big mistake because the Word of God says that we can know that we have passed from death unto life. Isn't that important? And we have it right up here. We know that we have passed out of death into life. And there's millions of people says, well, how do you do that? And it's simple here. It says, because we love the brethren. And there's a little more to it, but that's one of the main ones. And he who does not love abides in death. We know that we know, this is twice right there, that we have passed out of death into life. And that is a big deal. Okay, so that we can know we pass from death into life. The idea that we cannot know this is a big mistake because the Word of God says that we can know that we pass from death unto life. Okay, how do we know it? Because we love the brethren. That's what it's already said once. If you have love in your heart for your brethren, would be believers, then you have passed from death into life. See, that's another way to tell if you got out of death. The death is when spiritually dead. You got out of that because how does anybody get out? There's the only way to get out, but how do you do it? You believe the gospel. Bam! Now you're out for good for your whole life. You'll never go back to that. You've acquired a spirit, a human spirit. We'll get to that if we can here. So if you have love in your heart for the brethren, believers, then you have passed from death to life. We all were born physically, but spiritually dead because Adam's original sin was imputed to all mankind. I had this already here, but I made it more intense when we first started. The only way we can become spiritually alive is to believe in Jesus Christ and love our fellow believers. If you believe in Jesus Christ, that's enough. That's all it takes. But also you can put a little cherry on top and love the fellow believers too. And you ought to. If you're in a church and you don't like the people, something's wrong. I'm not saying that we are, but I mean there are churches that they don't operate the way they should because they don't have love. How many times have we had people come here, sometimes on Christmas days and everything, and they say, I can just feel the love in this church. Have y'all ever seen that or heard it? I have. In 1 John, there is another verse that also gives us assurance about our salvation. This one is the goodie right here. If we believe in the name of the Son of God, we may know that we have eternal life. Now, that's just what this is going to say. It's found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. And every time somebody says that, oh, well, nobody can know if they're saved or not, they don't know the Bible, because this is what it says right here. 1 John 5, 13. These things I have written to you who, what? Believe. You take that believe out, and you might as well forget this verse. That is the main thing right here. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, the Catholics, I'm not trying to beat up on anybody, but you can do everything to the perfect things that they do to try to get to heaven, and yet one thing that you'll never do is hear them say, oh, well, yeah, you're going to heaven because you did this, this, that, and the other thing. Well, it doesn't have anything to do that whatsoever. And you can know that you are saved. Isn't that a great burden off your back if you were thinking, I don't know for sure if I'm saved or not? This says, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Boy, I hope you put a circle around that somehow. And when somebody tells you, how do you know if you are saved or not? Asking you, how do you know? Well, we'll just tell them, well, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. That's it. Of course, no unbeliever will be given the gift of eternal life unless he changes his mind about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So every person has to do with this, that they're going to stay in spiritual death to the end of their life, and they're not going to go to heaven because you can't buy your way to heaven. You can't do any of that. And all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was another another previous time that I was teaching, and now this is where we really are to start. So this is lesson number 4, verse 1 through 26. Here's another one that goes along with what we were just using there. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has what? Has eternal life. Does that say you're going to get it? Do you say, well, maybe you will and maybe you will not? Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, capital M, that's Jesus, and believes him who sent me. Who is that? God the Father. If you do two things, then you have eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. The whole thing is getting out of death and getting into life. And the only way you have to do it is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other one we had, it just said, if you believe in the name of the Lord. And that's the same as the person. A lot of times when you hear by the name, it means by the person. All these things. Are these things hard to do? Is it hard to hear the gospel and then say, oh, no, I don't think that's right or whatever? So So I hope that every one of you, in fact, I don't hope, I believe that every one of you here are already passed from death into life, and it's probably happened a long time ago, but aren't you glad that you know it? I was talking to Paul Reznicek one time, and he said he was in Brenham here, over where they play baseball games and everything. And there was a church over there, and they were doing something out there. And he just started going up to people, and he started saying, are you saved? And they said, I hope so. He said that over and over and over. Why would anybody say they hope so when God is telling them in several places, you have it, you already got it? Why are you so thinking that you don't have it? It's probably because they haven't been taught what it is and haven't read their Bible or any of those things. So this is another one that says that you have eternal life. Now, we're going to talk about death into life. This transition, now this we're talking about doing the past. Somehow you have to pass out of death into life, and with this transition is what is speaking about it right here. So the transition from passing out of death into life is a very big deal. I guess so. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It is a permanent movement from passing out of death. I should have put a line under that. It is a what? Permanent movement. When you leave hell, you leave death, you're not in death anymore. And you have passed out of death and from Satan's cosmic system into life. You get that part? It's a permanent movement. It's not like I'm going to pass out of death today, but next Thursday, by that time, I'll probably be back in again. No, it's permanent forever, all time. And it's a movement from passing out of death from Satan's cosmic system into what? Into life. What you have is death, and you have life. And when you pass out of death, then you are into life of God's divine dynasphere. Where are you born? The pastor theme that was at Baraka Church, he came up with some of these, like the divine dynasphere and passing out of death and these type of things. I don't know where he got them, but they work. You could use maybe other titles or other names, but when we say the divine dynasphere, we see it down here. By the way, that's not a word. He coined this word. And he says, when we are born, we are in the divine dynasphere. Remember when we were studying that? So what we see here is you're passing out of death. And what are you passing from? From Satan's cosmic system. And now you're into life, and you're right in the middle of God's divine dynasphere. Can't you see? What do you have over here? It's death. That's all you have is death. And you don't know anything about how to get out of there. Or you can be in the divine dynasphere, and that is tremendous. I mean, it could use 10 other ways to say this is what we use as divine dynasphere. But God takes care of you even when you were born coming into this world, and you're going to be in the divine dynasphere, and you can't sin because you are in the divine dynasphere and you haven't done anything yet. So the perfect tense of passing out of death, the perfect tense means this: you came out of death at a point in time, and it goes on and on and on. That's why I said it's permanent, because it's the right kind of passing. So the perfect tense of passing out of death distinguishes the permanent abiding reality of life we now experience. What? Did I hear that right? Listen to it again. The perfect tense of passing out of death distinguishes the permanent abiding reality of the life we now experience. We're in it now. The divine dynasphere has already been entered. We entered it. The transfer has already occurred. The transfer from passing out of death into the divine dynasphere and being with the Lord, that transfer has already occurred. The promise of John 5:24 is a present reality that begins at the moment of regeneration. Remember when we were up here in 5:24? That's 5. Let's see. I don't know. I'm going to have to go. Anyway, we went through that. And what it shows us is that we have a present reality that begins at the moment of regeneration. What is regeneration? Do y'all know what regeneration is? Anybody?
It takes place. You're regenerated when you believe in Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, we were generated when we were born, and when we believed the gospel, we were regenerated. And that's when we get our soul, we get so many other, and our spirit and all these come from that. So that begins the moment of regeneration. Now, this is part of that same verse. It says, he who does not love abides in death. And so if we start here over John on the left here, it says, John use of the emphatic we. The reason it's we, I'll just show you real quick. Here it is. You see there where it says we know? That's emphatic. And then we get down here again. We know. Same exact words. Isn't it wonderful to know these things? That we can just tell other people what we know from the Bible. And we have assurance. Do you remember if you were in the Baptist church, you'd sing this song. Blessed assurance. Jesus, remember that?
No.
That's what that's about. And the people will just sing the dickens out of that song and don't have a clue what it means. It's a good sound, but they don't know what it means. I'll get back over here. I want to show you why that we was in the blue. So John's use of the emphatic we marks the distinct contrast between the children of the devil who hate and the child of God who is characterized by his love for the family of God. Remember, it says it's obvious of where you are. And it's so easy because the devil is so far away from God and God is so far away from Satan that you're not going to get them mixed up when it comes to what their life is like there. So, the apostle appeals to his hearers' personal knowledge for assurance of their new life in Christ. And not only does all this happen then, you're in God's family. And you're in a new life with Christ. All these things happen, and you can't tell that they're happening, but as you study the Bible, you see these things happen. They know what the world does not know. You, most of you here and those who are out there listening, you know what the world does not know. What is it they don't know? They have passed from death into life. You know it. It's solid. It's happened. You're experiencing it. And there are so many people that say they're Christians and you ask them, are you saved? I have no idea. I hope so. Eternal life is not earned by loving the brothers. Remember Saul where we get eternal life? And if we love the brothers, then we get out of death into life. That's what this is talking about. But it wants you to know eternal life is not earned by loving the brothers. Loving the brothers would be the Christian family, is evidence that one has made the transition from death into life. Loving the brothers, that's a sign that you have made that transition. And is it permanent? Is getting out of there permanent? What did I say?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Aren't you glad? We could, if you had a bad day, you could celebrate by saying, whew, at least I'm not back in death. I'm not spiritually dead because I believe in Jesus Christ. That should open your heart for that. So, loving the brothers is evidence that one has made the transition from death to life. Now, I got this underlined so it means something more. Loving the brothers is not an avenue of assurance of eternal life, but it is not the means of it. Again, loving the brothers is an avenue of assurance of eternal life. If you love the brothers, we've seen it two or three times already, that says then you have eternal life. But don't get mixed up and think that it's something, but it is not the means for obtaining it. What would that be if it was? It would be works, wouldn't it? Does God take works? Does He like work? Absolutely not. That's why it is not the means for obtaining it. Eternal life is a gift from God, imputed to us when we believe the gospel. As John noted before, the Christian is the one who loves others as Christ loved them. That's what we should do. And He gives us the ways to do it throughout the scriptures. On the other hand, the absence of Christian love indicates that one has not passed into the state of spiritual life. They're still in spiritual death, but remains in the realm of the spiritual death. And there are, again, all this that I'm teaching here is about believers. The unbelievers don't even get on the ball field. But I've heard people talk about a person is a believer, and they think, oh, that is so great. And they put them on a pedestal. They think that they don't sin. They think all of that. Anybody heard that from people before? I've even heard people say, oh, you're so wonderful, blah, blah. I don't want to hear that. I want to give you something that you can take. And if you say that I don't know if I'm saved or not, you better know. Because if you keep on having that same idea and you're not saved, then you're going to be in the lake of fire forever. So here it is again. On the other hand, the absence of Christian love. It's all over the Bible. There's no telling how many times I didn't look it up, but how much love, how many times it's in there. It is all over the place. So the absence of Christian love indicates that one has passed into the state of spiritual life, but remains in the realm of spiritual death. And what did I say there? Listen to this. One has not passed into the state of spiritual life, but remains in the realm of spiritual death. What does that mean? It means they're an unbeliever. And sometimes they think, well, maybe I'm really there, maybe I'm not. And that's no way to be. The Bible's precise and it tells you exactly how you can know. They walk in darkness, not in the light. The state of spiritual death is one into which a person is born and continues to exist if regeneration does not occur. So when we are, the state of spiritual death is one that a person is born. We are born spiritually dead, but none of us are worried about it because we went from death into life. And we know that we have Christ, we know that we are saved. And if you don't have that, what I would like to see people do is to ask people more questions. And if they don't know the answer, you can just have a conversation with them and see what they know. And then you might say somewhere in it, or maybe towards the end, would you like to know why it's like this? Do you want to know what God says about it? And just start talking to them. That's what they need, but they need to hear the proper information. I don't have hardly much time now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2 says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." What is it talking about? When were you dead like that? Before you believed in Jesus Christ. You were dead, spiritually dead. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly," look at that, formerly, "you used to walk according to the course of this world." All of us probably started in something like that. We didn't know how to be spiritual or anything. Verse 2, "in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," which is who?
Satan.
So, "according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of obedience." Do what?
Disobedience.
What did I say? Obedience? "In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," which is Satan, "of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." So you have these people that are going according to Satan, and he's got billions of people that he's deceiving. "Whatever one claims, the absence of love proves that one is still remains outside of the sphere of life of God and in the realm of death and darkness." And that is right here in our verse here. I'll end on this verse right here. See, we were going through what it meant to get out of the darkness and get away from death and be into eternal life. Now this part is going over the ones that haven't done that. And these are believers. And they are in the sphere of Satan. "So whatever claims the absence of love proves that one still remains outside the sphere of life in God." They still are not in the divine dynasphere because they did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. "And in the realm of..." I can't say that. These are believers, so they have believed, but they are not in the divine dynasphere, and they're in a really bad place. "So remains outside the sphere of life of God and in the realm of death and darkness." That's where they are, and this is where I'll end, right here. "The one who says that he is light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." And that's where we're going to end tonight. We covered this in a way that I hope clicks in your body and in your mind. And you can start talking to people just about death and life. And the one thing that I would say, that I would emphasize about this message, is to let the people who think they might be saved, or they might not even know how to be saved. But when you tell them the only way you can get out of this death is to believe in Jesus Christ. And if you don't do that, you're going to wind up in the lake of fire forever and ever. That's what the scriptures say. And you don't have to sugarcoat it or anything. Just tell them that and see where it goes. And it's really you could help a lot of people for sure. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have shown us the way in your word. And it's so important for us to be secure by knowing that we are your children, that we have eternal life, we have God's own righteousness, we have tons of things that you have given us. And we don't have to worry about it or wonder about it because we are in your hand and nothing can pull us away from your hand. And we're so thankful for that. So we pray that we will think about this, meditate on them, and have maybe some kind of idea of attack when you're talking to someone that is into darkness so that they can open their eyes and see the way into glory. We thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello. Yeah.